I'd like to start with several readings. They're actually going to be about four or five of them. They're all just about one sentence. First few come from the biblical text, and then the last two from different folks. The first one comes from Proverbs, chapter 17, verse 28. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. Then from Ecclesiastes 3:7, a time to tear, a time to sow, a time to keep silent, and a time to speak. From Psalm 49:3, a mouth shall speak wisdom, the meditation of my heart shall be understanding. Last verse that I'm going to read is from Psalm 119, verse 15, saying, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. And a couple of other quotes, one from Mahatma Gandhi. In the attitude of silence, the soul finds the path in a clearer light, and what is elusive and deceptive resolves itself into crystal clearness. And finally, from Mother Teresa, we need to find God, and God cannot be found in noise and restlessness. God is the friend of silence. See how nature, trees, flowers, grass grows in silence. See the stars, the moon, and the sun, how they move in silence. We need silence to be able to touch souls.
Thank you.
My message this morning is entitled, Listen to the Silence. One of our most important 20th century authors had this to say about silence. How much better is silence? A cup of coffee, the table. How much better to sit by myself like the solitary seabird that opens its wings on the stake. Let me sit here forever with bare things, this coffee cup, this knife, the scorched things themselves, myself being myself. The author is Virginia Woolf, and I couldn't agree with her more. How much better is silence? People who don't know me reasonably well are typically, well, very surprised and frequently don't even believe me when I say I'm an introvert. At times, I'm actually a pretty severe introvert. So it's not much of a surprise that I, as an introvert, have decided to talk about being quiet. Because frankly, I love being quiet. I also love stories. So let's start with the story that I read a while back on social media. And I think I shared this a few years ago. It goes like this. Once a farmer lost his precious watch while working in his barn. It appeared to be an ordinary watch, but it had this deep sentimental value for him. So after searching high and low among the hay for really a very long time, the old farmer, he got exhausted. But he didn't want to give up on the search for his watch. So he asked a group of children who were playing outside of the barn if they would help. He even promised them that there would be a large reward for whatever kid found his beloved watch. Well, after hearing about the reward, the children hurried inside the barn and went through and around the entire stack of hay trying to find the watch. And after a long time looking for the watch, some of the children got tired and gave up. And then slowly the number of children looking for the watch decreased until only a few pretty tired children were left. The farmer, he gave up all hope of finding his watch, and he called off the search. And just when the farmer was closing the barn door, a little boy came up to him and requested the farmer to give him one more chance. Now, the farmer didn't want to miss on any chance of finding the watch, so he let the little boy in the barn. And after a little while, the little boy came out with the watch in hand. And the farmer was happily surprised and asked the boy how he succeeded getting the watch when everyone else, including himself, had failed. And the boy replied, "I just sat there and tried to listen to the ticking of the watch. In silence, it was so much easier to listen to it and direct the search in the direction of the sound." Reminds me of something Rumi once said, "Listen to silence, it has so much to say." He also tells us the quieter you become, the more able you are to hear. You know, unfortunately, our lives are engulfed in noise. In reality, it's very hard to escape all of the noise. Even if we do seek out silence, the odds are we won't really truly find silence. There's still the hum of the HVAC system, the whir of a computer fan, incidental creaks and squeaks of the buildings that we are in. We live in a world where silence has become increasingly difficult to come by. Writer Prochnik, George Prochnik, claims that he has this passion, the passion for silence. And he's had it for nearly as long as he can remember. And in one of his books, he goes on a quest for silence. Now, the book's title is In Pursuit of Silence, Listening for Meaning in a World of Noise. And in it, he leaves his hometown of New York City. Being New York City, I think we kind of all know why he has a passion for silence. He leaves New York City, and he goes on a quest around the world to find others like him who still value silence. And part of what he learned as he visited people and places that valued silence is that absolute silence is impossible to find, but what you can find is quiet spaces, quiet moments. And those quiet spaces and quiet moments are essential to our lives, both biologically and mentally, and I would even add spiritually as well. Biologically, as Prochnik points out, he says, there's increasing evidence that harm goes across our system from noise. There's been a long association with noise and hearing loss, but, he says, there's also new studies just completed that show danger to our cardiovascular systems. He says, even when not awakened by noises, blood pressure goes up, and hours later, the blood pressure is still elevated. Florence Nightingale, the 19th century British nurse and social activist, seems to understand the issues with noise and health, our biological health. Seems to have understood it long before many others. She once wrote that, quote, unnecessary noise is the most cruel absence of care that can be inflicted on sick or well. She argued that needless sounds could cause distress, sleep loss, and alarm for recovering patients. And if you've ever spent any time in a hospital, you know that they can really stand to take up her advice. The activity of our modern life puts a significant burden on the prefrontal cortex of the brain. And that's the part of the brain that's dedicated to high-order thinking, to decision-making, to problem-solving. So, not surprisingly, that means our mental resources in this loud world, our mental resources to give attention to important things regularly becomes drained. And when that happens, we become easily distracted and mentally fatigued. We can struggle to focus, to solve problems, and to come up with even new ideas. But according to something that those who study the brain, something that they call attention restoration theory, the brain can actually restore those cognitive abilities. When we put ourselves in environments that have lower levels of sensory input than usual. So silence is one of the major ways we can practice attention restoration theory. I for one, have found this to be very true. Writer's block, I promise you, is a very real and frustrating thing. And when I'm honest about it with myself, it mostly happens when I have gone through long stretches of sort of sensory overload. So, when I'm actually thinking about it, which isn't every time I have writer's block, it probably happens too few of times when I'm having writer's block, but when I really think about it, I seek out quiet moments. For me, it takes at least 10 minutes, sometimes up to half an hour or so. I sit in a chair where I am. I try to reduce the number of noises that are in the room as much as possible. And I gently close my eyes. And sometimes I'll breathe in and out deeply, slowly. Sometimes I let my mind wander in silence, letting my thoughts come and go. Or as I like to say, I let them bounce around until something sticks. I literally cannot tell you the number of times it not only overcame my writer's block, but I also ended up with a rather creative perspective that I'm sure I would not have been capable of before that lifetime. Scientists call that quiet time self-generated cognition. Self-generated cognition. It can be meditating, daydreaming, fantasizing about the future, or as I'm prone to do with writer's block, letting our minds quietly wander. You know, it turns out that when our brains are more quiet and disengaged from external stimuli, we more easily tap into our inner streams of thoughts and emotions and memories and ideas. It helps us to make meaning out of our experiences, to empathize with others, to be more creative, and to reflect our own mental and emotional states, including letting go of normal things like stress. Ravi Shankar, an Indian musician, composer of Hindustani classic music, once said, it's sort of beautiful. Whether you are aware of them or not, whether you recognize them as spiritual or not, you probably have had the experience of silence or transcendence or the divine. A few seconds, a few minutes that seem out of time, a moment when the ordinary looks beautiful, glowing, deep sense of being at peace, feeling happiness for no reason. When these experiences come, he says, believe in them. They are a reflection of your true nature. Pope John Paul II was reminded of the value of silence as he stood amidst nature, saying, in this oasis of quiet, before the wonderful spectacle of nature, one easily experiences how profitable silence is. A good that today is ever more rare. He says, in reality, only in silence does a person succeed in hearing the depths of his consciousness, the voice of God, which really makes them free. You know, most spiritual movements have recognized the value of silence. Now, I believe that is because silence cultivates awareness. Silence cultivates awareness. Awareness of self, awareness of environment, awareness of others, awareness of our connectedness, and for some of us, awareness of something bigger than us. At its core, spirituality is about those kinds of awareness. You know, intellectually, we can study and observe the importance of each of those. We can make the necessary arguments needed to convince ourselves and then possibly convince other people about how important it is to have awareness of the values of self and environment and others and our connectedness, but it isn't until we quiet the world around us, all the sensory stimulus, and then reach out in our silence that we actually begin to embody, take to heart, become somewhat entangled in those realities. So, you know, being quiet impacts our physical, mental and spiritual lives more than most people recognize. Perhaps that's why so few of us, including myself, practice it on a regular basis, because we just don't realize how much it impacts all those parts of our lives. So now, just for a minute or so, please be quiet. About you, but the silence and the gentle music and beautiful song have put me in this very peaceful state. I could almost feel things lifting off just as that silent music came in at the end of the silence, that quiet music. We're going to continue that feel, that experience together with our prayer meditation. I'm going to do sort of just a simple guided prayer meditation. I'll ask you to bow your heads in a moment. I will throw a word out and give everyone 10, 15 seconds with that word. You can pray for folks that it reminds you of. You can see where it leads you. Just sit with it and in the quietness of the room. Let's bow our heads. Peace. justice. Love. Hope. Connectedness. Joy. Amen. I hope that this moments of silence added to your experience of our Sunday morning spirituality. It's something that we're going to be reintroducing into our service. We've had that in the past. And so after each message, we're going to take a minute or so in silence to reflect on the message or to breathe deeply, or just to experience being present with each other. And so we're going to try that for a little bit and see how that goes. But just know that that will be a new regular part, at least for the foreseeable future. Receive this blessing now. May you walk in harmony with each other and with creation, recognizing that we are one. And may you know love and happiness throughout your life. And may your words and actions give that love and happiness to all that you meet.